wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.
New 3 podcast, episode 70. Maria Orsic, extraterrestrial technology for the Germans. Before I get right into it, do follow us on Instagram at @s3podcast_. We are also on Facebook at the S3 Podcast Official. So, today's topic is a history mystery. It's a historical mystery. So, let's get right into it. So, Maria Orsic, also known as Maria Orsic, was a famous medium who later became the leader of the Real Society. She was born on 31st of October 1895 in Zagreb. Her father was a Croatian and her mother was a German from Vienna. Maria was more beautiful than any Hollywood star at the time. Maria Orsic was first mentioned and pictured in 1967 by Berger and Pavels in their book Aufbruch ins Tilt, Deutschland van der Second Fantasischen Vernunft. I hope I've got the pronunciation right. Obviously, I'm not German, so. Maria soon followed the German National Movement, which was active after World War One, a movement whose objective was territorial and political accession to Germany. In 1919, she moved to Munich with her boyfriend and fiancé. It is not known whether they were married or not, since both disappeared in 1945. In Munich, Maria was in contact with the Thule Society from the beginning and soon created her own inner circle with Trout A, another Munich medium, and other friends. This group was called Aldous Gesellschaft für Metaphysik, the official name of the Real Society. All of them were young girls, although somewhat peculiar, since they were staunch opponents of the new fashion for short hair among women. Both Maria and Trout had very long hair, one blonde and the other brown. They wore very long pigtails, a very rare hairstyle in the early 20th century. As expected, this soon became a characteristic of all the women who made up the so-called Real Society, which is said to have existed until 1945. And it was not by sheer whim, since they firmly believed that their long manes acted to cosmic antenna to receive communications outside our world. And as well as Maria and Trout, there are three other girls named Sigrun, Gudrun and Heike. On the other hand, in public, they never exhibited their hair in a ponytail, but preferred to wear it down to attract less attention as identification. The members of the Real Society, also called Vrouwinnen, carried a disc that represented two of the most important mediums of the group, Maria Orsic and Sigrun. In December 1919, a small group of people from the Thule Real and DHVSS acronym for Men of the Black Stone societies, including Maria and Sigrun, rented a small cabin near Berchtesgaden, Germany. Maria then affirms that she has received a series of mediumistic transmissions in a kind of writing that she calls Templar Germanic, in a language that she claims does not know, but that they contain information of a technical nature for the construction of a machine flying. Supposed documents belonging to the Real Society mention that said telepathic messages come from Aldebaran, 68 light-years away in the constellation of Taurus. As for the documents, it is said that Maria had two piles of papers resulting from these telepathic trances, one with the unknown handwriting and other perfectly legible. As for the latter, Maria suspected that it might be written in an archaic form of what might be a Near Eastern language. With the help of a group close to the Tau Society, known as the Pan-Babylonists, made up of Hugo Winkler, Peter Jensen and Friedrich Dillitz, among others, they were able to find out that this language would be none other than ancient Sumerian, the language of the founders of ancient Babylon. Sigrun helped to translate the message, and in the process to decipher the strange images of the circular flying artifact that appeared in the other pile of papers. The concept of the many things that are put into the alternative science drawer matured in these years, and in those that were to come immediately afterwards. The fact is that due to financing difficulties, the project for the construction of said flying apparatus took 3 years to get underway. Supposedly, by 1922, different parts of the prototype had been independently manufactured in various factories financed by the Tool Society and Real Society. At the end of November 1924, Maria visited Rudolf Hess in his Munich apartment. Together with Rudolf von Zeppendorf, the founder of the Tool Society, Zeppendorf wanted to contact Dietrich Eckart, who had passed away the previous year. Eckart had translated Ibsen's plays into German and published the magazine Uf Gott Deutsch. He was also a member of the Tool Society. In order to contact Eckart, Zeppendorf, Maria, Rudolf Hess and other Tool members clasped their hands around a table covered in black cloth. Hence, they were trying to do a seance. Hess began to feel uncomfortable having to see how Maria went into a trance and the orbits of her eyes moved backwards, revealing only the white of these, and having to bear seeing her consume in spasms, sitting in a chair with an unpleasant grimace in her mouth. Instead, Zeppendorf was satisfied to see how Eckart's voice began to emerge from the lips of the medium. But something unexpected happened. Eckart announced that he was being forced by someone or something to leave room for another voice to manifest through the medium with an important message. Eckart's voice disappeared to give rise to a disturbing and unpleasant voice that identified itself as the Sumi, inhabitants of a distant world that orbits the star Aldebaran in the constellation that you call Taurus, the Bull. None could help but look at the other companions with wide eyes due to the surprisingness of what was happening. Supposedly, according to the strange voice, the Sumi were a humanoid race that would have colonized the Earth 500 million years ago. The ruins of Larsa, Surapak and Naipaul in Iraq would have been built by them. Those who survived the great flood of Ut-Napishtim would have become the ancestors of the Aryan race. Zeppendorf, skeptical of such information, demanded evidence. While Maria was still in a trance, she scribbled a series of lines on which some Sumerian characters could be seen. In December 1943, Maria and Sigrun attended a meeting organised by the Real Society on the seashore of Kullberg. Supposedly, the main objective of this meeting was to debate the Aldebaran project. The mediums of the Real Society would have received telepathic information about habitable planets around Aldebaran and planned to travel there. Apparently, this project was discussed again on January 22, 1944, in a meeting between Hitler, Himmler, Dr. W. Schumann, scientist and professor at the Technical University of Munich, and Kunkel of the Vril Society. It was decided that a prototype, Vril 7 Jaeger, Hunter in German, would be sent through a supposed dimensional channel outside the speed of light in the direction of Aldebaran. According to the writer N. Rutherford, the first test back on this dimensional channel took place in late 1944. The test almost ended in disgrace because after the flight, the Vril 7 looked as if it had been flying for hundreds of years, and not only because of its appearance, but also because it also had damage to many of its components. Maria Orsic lost track of her in 1945. On March 11th, 1945, a supposed internal document of the Vril Society was sent to all of its members, a letter written by Maria Orsic. The letter ends by saying, "Niemand bleibt hier, no one is here." This would be the last communication sent by the Vril Society, and since then, no one has heard from Maria Orsic or any of its other members. Many continue to believe they fled to Aldebaran. And, you know, whatever you think, whatever you believe in, whether you believe in the paranormal, or like, whether you believe it to be fake, or you think it's a load of bollocks, or what have you, you know, whatever your beliefs are, you know, there has to be something said about these unknown things happening, you know. Like, these sort of things don't happen out of thin air, you know. I believe in the paranormal, you know. I believe in the our weird universe still holding on to a few secrets that our scientists clearly are either not open-minded enough, or they clearly think that, you know, what they have read in their textbooks to obtain their degree, which I'm not bashing, it's amazing. But you can't put everything down to what you read in textbooks, right? And, you know, whether you agree with it or not, we are not the only ones on this planet. We are not the only ones roaming around. Right, there are other species, right, i.e. aliens, extraterrestrial beings, and there are extraterrestrial technology, right? So, you know, but this is more of a... So, did Maria Orsic really obtain extraterrestrial technology for the Germans? I don't know the answer to that, but it's the same thing with... Area 51, and the guy who found what he thought was a metal sheet, but turned out to be something out of this world. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, right? But I will include a link to this article in the description of the episode. But if you want to go and check it out, it's mysteriesonesolved.com/202. You know what, I'll just put the link in the description, because then that way, and you can just click on it in a little bit, send it straight there. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. It's a history/mystery. So I hope you enjoyed that. Let us know. What you thought. Converse with us on Instagram, you know, let us know what you think, and until the next episode, have a great evening, or day wherever you are, and until next time, see you a lot in the next one.
I wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.